testing, Bigfoot Eruption presents Bigfoot Update, May 25th, 2025. And we hesitate to give the date because we don't want to date ourselves when you hear this in a year or two, but history is a good thing. So we have sent two episodes to Weinman Smith in Washington. We talked to him last week, and it was a nice long episode, hour and a half, so we're learning to break that up into two. Sent those to him. We do not know if those will be episodes that are truly used because we're learning about using names of other people, learning to not use names of other people, getting permission from those people, and basic strategies and topics. The two episodes, which was one conversation, was to just talk and practice using the podcasting mixer, microphone, phone call, Bluetooth, discussing ideas, practicing with the volume. Interesting that when I did each episode and sent them to Heidi of Corvallis, Oregon, for her to listen to, one of them sounded just right, and one of them sounded like the volume was too loud. So I think that's something I'm doing after the recording, and we'll continue to perfect it before ruining episode after episode. Something that I've noticed in editing is I make a strange click sound in between breathing, and I try to edit that out. If it's a really cool thing that people like, then I need to leave it in because that's personality. But while recording so far in this update, I've been turning away from the microphone, breathing in a huge breath, and then talking as long as I can without inhaling again. And that's not sustainable, so trying to avoid that weird click. Looks like I haven't done it yet. And I've tried to duplicate it, and when I try to do it, I can't do it. So maybe I should start leaving it in so everyone knows what I'm talking about. So Weinman Smith did a practice recording, sent those off to him, letting him hear different intro and outro with each one. By the way, Jared Kaywood, thank you. Once upon a time, Jared Kaywood, musician, Oregon, said we could use his songs. I think he didn't feel high hopes for his possible success and was thinking, yeah, go ahead, use them. I think he feels he won't get that big break. And our hope is that in all of you hearing the intro and outros, you're going to say, hey, Jared Kaywood, he's good. So, spoiler alert, he has a heavy metal band creating an album that's not called Jared Kaywood, but if you hear it and it's on our intro and outros, it's him. So credit to him. We're still learning how to give credit to him, trying to be consistent. Each page in the website that has a podcast on it, giving credit to him. And the hope is that if we're a movie someday, he's the one doing the music. So it's fun to dream. It's time to give an update on the book that's being written. It was based on Weinman Smith initially, and actually that's a big thing I shouldn't be saying probably, because we changed the story to protect his identity and, well, I'm really saying too much. Okay, start over. Bigfoot Eruption presents, hey, we're writing a book. And the person that it is inspired by, we're not using the person's name. We've changed that character to be Jay, short for Jasmine, based on Jasmine Worth of Eli's podcast, Cryptid Campfire. We had Ally on many years ago when we were initially trying to do this before feeling that we failed. And that episode actually is still on our website. So, wow. When people say they don't like hearing their early episodes because it's cringeworthy and makes them embarrassed, I think that especially would make me feel that way because he was the pro, Eli Watson, of Cryptid Campfire. He was the pro. I was not. Thank you to him for trying. And I want him on again now that we're ready with confidence and some better equipment. And really, after years of creating web pages and learning about content creators and Bigfoot information, I think we're ready to have a conversation. Since then, he's moved on. I don't know if he's still on that podcast. So, yeah, and yet moving on to YouTube videos with small town monsters. It seems, I just did that sound. It seems that he's like a lore aficionado and a techie guy for them. That will be an interesting conversation to see him go from college and his podcast that he founded with his friend to doing other things. That's a story I want to hear. So we will reach out to him soon. Things seem so busy as we are doing normal life and working a normal day job and finding that we need a bumper sticker and a t-shirt that says, I'd rather be podcasting. In fact, right now, people in my household have departed to get ready for something pertaining to high school graduation. And I did that sound again. So I won't edit that out this time because there are going to be times when I don't edit that out. And it's time we get it out in the open that happens sometimes. So some people left our household and I thought, I don't think Wyman is ready to record his next episode. Heidi from Corvallis isn't ready until later tonight. And Judy, our new contact that is a Bigfoot sensitive, meaning there's a Sasquatch person that has tagged her to befriend her. A very interesting update is Judy, and any text that she and I share are amazing. And maybe we'll get to some of those later. The hope is that when I do talk to her again for a recording, that we will get to some of those topics. So we've talked about Wyman. We've talked about how we're trying to do a book. Let me share more about that. We started this years ago, and I'm learning that through knowing Judy and her experiences with Sasquatch people, a lot of things in the book we are writing are spot on to what she's saying, whether it be Sasquatch people, how they hide, how they're thinking, their society. A lot of the things that she's sharing with me are things I've already put in the book somehow. And so we are disappointed that the goal was, okay, stop listening to documentaries about Bigfoot. Stop listening to podcasts about Bigfoot. Don't get any ideas. Write this first book raw without anyone being able to say, oh, you stole that idea from us. One example is the Bigfoot spider crawl. And I used to have his name memorized where I first heard about the Bigfoot spider crawl. So credit to him. In the website, Bigfoot Eruption, I give credit to him already. He was out of Oklahoma at the time. Anyway, I'm not prepared to give full credit at this second for what the person's name is and the podcast, documentary, YouTube show that story was on. But that's an example. Did I know about the Bigfoot spider crawl before hearing it from that person? Maybe, maybe not. Because I don't remember, I feel I have to give credit to that person. Will I get sued? Are some ideas free rain for anyone to use? Or do some people say, no, that was my idea? Like, when the term Bigfoot was coined in California, was that copyrighted? Obviously, everyone uses it. There's a certain image of a Bigfoot silhouette that almost everyone, that's an exaggeration, but almost everyone seems to be using on posters, ads for their conventions, t-shirts. There's a certain silhouette. Basically, the most famous silhouette, that's what I'm talking about. So how did that get created, and how did that not get copyright protected? And when we first started Bigfoot Eruption, we talked to a lawyer. We asked as many questions as possible to try to get the best value out of the money we were spending for that 45 minutes. And all kinds of questions we asked, trying to protect ourselves without having to call our lawyer again for every question. We still got burned. I'm still unsure of some things. We are unsure. For example, I took to drawings of someone else's paintings or drawings or art, knowing from somebody who we were taking painting classes from, specific Bigfoot painting classes. This person said, you have to change what I've taught you by 20%. Otherwise, you have to put my name on it. And that was really good advice. So can I take a famous picture of Yetis, abominable snowmen, and put it in my page about a situation in Russia where those students were killed, presumably by a Yeti? If I draw that picture again, it's obviously going to be at least 20% different, because we are not perfect at drawing exactly someone else's drawing. But to get that feeling, to get that feel, because we don't know how to reach out and say, hey, do you mind if we use this? We're still learning how to do that. So can I just draw something similar? I mean, that's what AI does when you use Discord and Midjourney. It takes art from all over the place and gets ideas from it and morphs it together. Regular artists don't like that. But what if I draw a picture of a picture? Will I get sued? So I tried that. We tried that. And then eventually we stopped doing that because we just didn't know. And the feeling of almost being sued, which still means you're owing somebody money, was horrible. All we're doing is trying. And so learning as we go. So I don't know why we're talking about this actually at the moment. But that's been a big part of our lives and progression with this. So anyway, the point was that we are writing a book. And that we need to finish it and get it out there before our ideas are not original anymore, because some ideas may become commonplace, like the spider crawl, which was something we felt was pretty original. And now every time I hear about it on a podcast, we say, oh man, this won't be a fresh idea when we finally get the book out there. Our next podcast with Heidi is going to be about Bigfoot theories. And we've learned that you're not supposed to call them theories, because something can only be a theory if science says it's okay. Hypotheses is what these are. Bigfoot hypotheses. So that doesn't sound as good. So we're still going to use the word theories, but every time I say the disclaimer. I think Heidi from Corvallis, Oregon is a good person to talk about Bigfoot theories with. I've shared that page out of Bigfoot Eruption with her. Every time we hear of a theory, hypothesis, we put it in no particular order, except when we hear them, we put them in. I think it'll be a really great episode. But then we were thinking, wait a minute. Judy just shared an amazing YouTube video from the YouTuber called How to Hunt, Steve Isdahl, a name that I have heard of, but I'm shocked I didn't know more than I do, because he's very prevalent with his hunting videos that are now slash huge Bigfoot information. So Judy shared that with me. How to Hunt is where she gets most of her Bigfoot information, the information she's not actually getting from her Sasquatch friend. And something interesting about that is, side note, that Bigfoot, I mean, Sasquatch friend, interesting, isn't telling her every single secret, every single question we've ever had. I will ask her a question and she'll say, Tinker hasn't told me that yet. But Sasquatch people are obviously different than us, and they think differently. For some reason, they chose to tag her, befriend her, protect her from evil. The evil that they mostly know about, and we don't. We've heard of Dogman. They know about Dogman. They know about the other evil that is just lingering so close to us, perhaps in the realm that is practically inhabiting our realm. And they protect her. And she doesn't always know what she was being protected from. So even though they want to protect her and befriend her, there's a lot they're not just offering. And yet, they are. And one example is they have told her that they will reveal themselves to her in the flesh when she is ready. So I have told her, when that happens, make a note of it. What was it that made you ready for them to reveal? We all want to know. By knowing Judy more and more, I feel I definitely want to meet these people. I want to understand. And even if that's through Mindspeak, and Lord help us that we are not deceived, Wyman shared with me once, be careful. This was before I met Judy. Be careful of certain things. We don't want to open ourselves up to the wrong thing. But these Sasquatch people say they love Jesus as Savior, and they're all about love. And there have been some things that Judy has said that I feel are true or have proven to be true based on just knowing her and so on. So here's how things work at Bigfoot Eruption. So Judy shared this amazing YouTube video by Steve Isdahl. What do? We put How to Hunt, a.k.a. Steve Isdahl, into our newer website, Evidence Eruption, about Bigfoot evidence. So we have a regional section now where we have the Pacific Northwest region and the Oregon region. We have creatures under that region, so Tinker, Avery, Jr., the names of the clans that I've learned from Judy. And then, from this video I'm talking about, you learn of another group down in the Siskiyou Mountains on the southern Oregon border, so I'm adding them to that list. If people are willing to share about these things, then I guess it's okay to put them in here, but the reason we want them in here is because it's like a diary. Whenever we need Bigfoot information, we like to come to our own website or websites, and that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm going to Evidence Eruption, which is a subsite of Bigfoot Eruption, and I'm going to find the link to that YouTube video because I put it on Steve Isdahl's page under the category Oregon People. So we've talked about Wyman Smith in Washington. We've talked about Judy in Oregon. We've talked about How to Hunt, and we haven't said much about How to Hunt, but we can tell you that's a good resource. And then, because of that episode, YouTube video from How to Hunt, Steve Isdahl, we created a page for Dr. Matthew Johnson, a Bigfoot ambassador. We're really learning a lot. From that video, we got all of that. So let me share this page with you. We had heard of the Dr. Matthew Johnson Bigfoot encounter near the Oregon Caves a long time ago, but didn't really have a lot of information on it. Thanks to this YouTube video, we are reminded of him. This video shares how he is now doing much, much more. And the video is called, I Have All the Answers You Are Looking For, 2. So evidently there was a first one. And that's on YouTube. From that, because I shared this with Heidi of Corvallis, and this feeds into our discussion on Bigfoot theories, which hopefully we have tonight. There's more theories because of Dr. Johnson. Now, in the video, I Have All the Answers You're Looking For, Part 2, we hear again of Dr. Johnson having a Bigfoot sighting at the Oregon Caves. It's a pretty compelling story. And over the years, I wasn't sure what to think of it because I think some people didn't believe him. So Dr. Matthew Johnson has reached out to Steve Isdahl saying, I want to invite you down to the Southern Oregon Mountains to see some of the proof. So Steve Isdahl is going to accept the invitation because why not go and learn? And he'll know for himself. So I shared this YouTube video with Heidi of Corvallis, Oregon, and she learned that there's something called Team Squatchin USA Camps. So let me share what she shared. She sent the link. TeamSquatchinUSA.MyBigCommerce.com/2025events. And we've hyperlinked that here. The video you sent that Judy sent you was very good. The doctor guy in Southern Oregon, I've heard stuff on him. What an honor he gets to be on the council. Yes, Sasquatch people down there have put him on the council. I don't know if just anyone can attend his camps where Sasquatch would be near. Maybe touch you to heal you. But it would be amazing to go. Praying if it is okay for me to go, that it would work out. If not this year, someday. Several camps during the summer, $200 each, would be a life-changing experience. Is Judy going to go to one of those? In this video, they were referred to as spiritual light beings. I wonder what that means. Orbs that charge up in the trees during the day? Sasquatch at night? Spirit light beings? I was wondering what spiritual stuff they might share with people. Or their very makeup is spiritual? It can transform and stuff. Or if they can transform and stuff. The link is to the camps /meet the Sasquatch people registration. And that's the end of that message. I responded to her saying I should sponsor her to go because I want to hear about this experience. Let's say I can't go. If she's willing to go, maybe we help sponsor her to go. Later, the co-owner of Bigfoot Eruption said, well, maybe you both go. And I thought, oh, that's nice of you. Because Bigfoot Eruption feels guilty for spending too much time away from family, so I appreciated hearing that. So, Heidi from Corvallis, Oregon replies again. Thank you for the thought about sponsoring me with a celebration emoji. Something to think about, smiley emoji. Interesting from the video and what you shared above. So there was a time that their kind from another world came to ours because theirs was dying. And here's where I'm saying, here's where we are saying another hypothesis. Now for Dr. Johnson, this is no hypothesis. Dr. Johnson is living this. So Steve Isdahl is going to go visit. And Steve Isdahl has said, I'm going to share the truth of what I saw. So then you have a choice to make. Do you believe Dr. Johnson? Especially when Steve Isdahl goes down there and shares back with us the community. And then what if Heidi of Corvallis, Oregon goes and comes back and shares with us? And then imagine the government, well, they probably already know, And we've heard, and just yesterday we watched again, Face of Beauty, Bigfoot Revealed, one of the most amazing Bigfoot documentaries. In there, an ex-military person said that they would go through and eliminate Bigfoot threats when called upon to do that as the military. Wow, okay, so they do know about them. They eliminate them. I'm wondering, what do they define as a threat? Just they're showing themselves too much? They're being nice people, but they're just showing themselves too much? And they don't want the general public really to know about it? Or were these the rogue Bigfoot that are actually mean? But they eliminated them and sent the bodies to Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, says this person. So the government knows, and Judy says the government knows, but isn't doing much about it, because how do you deal with giant people with portals and high intelligence, so high that we would call them highly autistic, that live underground for the most part, can cloak, and can use infrasound to confuse you so you don't see the entrance of their cave or whatever. So Heidi Fuchs of Corvallis, Oregon, has been texting, and we are debating if we're going to edit out those dings, but she's been contacting about when tonight we're going to record. So, hey, this is really good practice for us, as we'll be so ready to talk to her about this. But this story, as we feel we've gone down a rabbit trail and don't even remember what started this part of the conversation, but a huge emphasis of this recording is an update of this amazing Southern Oregon situation. And Heidi from Corvallis, Oregon, wanting to go down there to learn more about this. So let me back up a little bit. Thank you for the thought about sponsoring me. Something to think about. Interesting from the video and what you shared above. So there was a time that their kind from another world came to ours because theirs was dying. Like the guy said, Steve Isdahl said, what happened at the other world for it to be like that? What happened? Are the ones that came here from that just like the Sasquatch from here? Or a little different? Was it an actual planet or was it another dimension? I remember a Native American couple being interviewed on Blurry Creatures, possibly? Question mark emoji. The ones that said giant bones found here were being dumped in the Atlantic. They shared a story passed down of someone coming through a portal, knew that things were going to be difficult for this particular tribe. I think the white settlers were coming, question mark. Whoever this was that came out of the portal to tell them said they could take them to another world place where they would be safe. Okay, we're not reading anymore. We are actually responding. That's an amazing thought. What if through portals, coming and going, when Bigfoot creatures suddenly disappear, they go through a portal, which to them is no big deal. It's just science. Taking them back to what I thought was another realm, what we thought. But yeah, is that other realm another planet that's in another realm? Or another planet that may as well be in another realm because we just don't go to planets every day ourselves? Okay, let's go back to the reading. One guy didn't make it. He went back for something, question mark. That's why they have this story to tell. And he passed on to them. Where did they go? Was it another realm, dimension? Actual other planet? Okay, I just remembered I wanted to practice by turning down one of these knobs just a little bit, trying to make it so we don't sound too loud in the recording, so we'll see. So, back to the reading. Continuing what Heidi is saying about the Blurry Creatures episode. Where did they go? Was it another realm, dimension, actual other planet? I felt like it was another dimension. Like that Louis L'Amour story of the Native Americans living on the mesa went through a portal to another realm to live. There's a question as to where many of different tribes went to, like one where they had their homes in the cliffs is now a park. It's like they disappeared. Did more than one tribe do this? Is that like the ones the Sasquatch had others come from? Did you get any indications on why their world was dying? Interesting to think about. Steve Isdall also mentioned that he was curious as to, well, why was the planet dying? And is that going to happen here because you escaped that one to come here? Heidi continues, interesting to think about. I wonder if it was Sasquatch that came for the tribes to save them because they are the guardians. That makes sense to me. And they can travel that way. It is good the Sasquatch can come and go however they do that so as to keep them safe. That's true. It is clear that these beings, the Sasquatch, again, a term out of Canada, so that's a regional word, we're working on what really to call them for a worldwide generic term. We've learned the word Bigfoot is offensive to them. That makes sense, because why would they want a name that we created for them? However, they like the Sasquatch term, the Indian term, Sasquatch. At least Judy says the ones here in Oregon call themselves Sasquatch. So a question for Judy would be, well, did they originate in Canada then? Something cool just happened. We are doing a online search, and we typed in the word blurry creatures, Bigfoot portal to another planet. And we spelled the word creatures wrong. But still, one of the first things that come up is BigfootEruption.com, Evidence Eruption, Dr. Matthew Johnson, Bigfoot Ambassador on Evidence Eruption. How cool. We don't know if it does that just because it knows our computer or if anyone else in the world would have had that same search response. Okay, a quick search isn't revealing what we want. Again, it puts us near the top. Below that, YouTube video, Gary Stearman's Bigfoot Story on Blurry Creatures YouTube. Gary recently was interviewed by Blurry Creatures about the UFO experience in the late 1960s. Listen to the full episode, episode 238. Okay then, could that be it? We don't know. For a while, we heard every single Blurry Creatures episode and then got behind. We still think they're great. We do have it listed. We have them on our website because we advertise every Bigfoot-themed anything that we can get our hands on, so you know better how to hear their episodes. Not reinventing the wheel, but facilitating. Plus, if I need something from Blurry Creatures and I know it's like season one, well, we have a page for that and I can go and click that link. So, should we make that part of the update? Should we go through and read every single title and guess which one it is? Okay, we're seeing that there are episode seasons from 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024, and now 2025. So that should probably be its own episode where we talk about the different episodes that they've had. But we can say we need to find that. We've heard it before. We know what Heidi's talking about. So Heidi from Corvallis was talking about this Blurry Creatures episode that talks about portaling back and forth to another planet for the Sasquatch. And then Judy told us about Steve Isdall's video about Dr. Matthew Johnson telling him the same thing. One thing we like about Bigfoot podcasts, Bigfoot documentaries, but mostly Bigfoot podcasts, is the same. You start hearing the same things as if proving itself. So unless there are thousands of people, imagine every single person talking about Bigfoot, the government or somebody has contacted them, taught them, groomed them, paid them, even threatened them, to all be coming out with similar stories. Unless that happened, and why would that happen? So unless that happened, we think that when we hear similar stories, similar accounts from different states, different parts of the world, we think that's a clue. We feel we have to treat it that way because we really need to be paying attention. Like Wyman Smith said, the things that he was noticing in 2015 and after, he had actually experienced them in years before that, but didn't know to call it a Bigfoot occurrence. So when we talked to him, starting with his 2015 timeline, what we're going to hear a lot is, yeah, this same thing was happening the year before. I just didn't know what to identify it as. We are so groomed to think it's something normal. But how does a rock hit the side of your homestead house? Something has to kick it or throw it, and birds don't drop rocks. And to throw something, that requires hands. Oh, what if it's a human? Well, that's scary too. But it's consistent. And if you take that with all the other Bigfoot activity he's experiencing on his homestead, well, and then he clears all the rocks from his homestead and prairie, so when there is another rock, he knows it was placed there. Well, that's data. A Blurry Creatures episode that's really good, probably top five for them, is called Episode 30, I Dug Up Giant Bones. In that episode, our secret authorities, giant snake mound, portal, good Bigfoot, evil bad things, and I think some Bigfoot in that are evil, DNA plurality, ancient giants, Indian heritage, Vikings, dogman, skinwalker, a monster that he calls a monster croc. Noah and Daniel 12 are also discussed. So that's a great episode. In that are portals. Not sure if that one talked about actually portaling to other planets, but that's a good one. So 2020 had 19 episodes for Blurry Creatures. So then we go into season two and Episode 48, Season 2, no, that's not it either. Here it is, Episode 47, I Dug Up Giant Bones, Part 2. In this episode, Bigfoot is discussed, including one of them called White Diamond. Also, the current update for his situation there. I'm going to say it was Wisconsin. Again, more talk about the monster crocs and the portal. In these episodes, you learn that these Bigfoot people care about humans and try to protect themselves and us from the evil side. Now, these would be good to listen to again because to remember what evil he's talking about and then to compare that with what Judy is saying to us. Judy says Dogman is evil and her Sasquatch friend has tried to protect her from that and other unknown evil. This isn't the one that Heidi was talking about, but Episode 99, UFOs Are Here with Tim Alberino, including the Pentagon Report, Freedom of Information, Technology, Biblical Paradigm, and the Abduction Agenda. Anything from Timothy Alberino, we're going to encourage you to listen to. Episode 143, Military Mysteries with Tales from the Grid Square. And military paranormal accounts are there. And from what we remember, Bigfoot accounts also. We recommend any accounts of military Bigfoot encounters. This isn't the episode Heidi was talking about, but hey. Episode 146, The Coming UFO Invasion with L.A. Marzulli. in this episode, threats against L.A. Marzulli, movie documentary update, hope in Jesus, implants, using the words in Jesus' name, hybrid agenda, and a phrase directly from L.A. Marzulli, you can kill me, but only if God allows you to kill me. And that's an interesting story right there. Again, not the episode Heidi was talking about, but we had to say it. Episode 166, Extra-Dimensional Beings with John D'Souza, who was the original Fox Mulder of the X-Files. Episode 189, I Adopted Anton LaVey's Daughter with Dave Bryan. Okay, that you have to hear. That should be a movie. Very good. The interview is later given again on The Confessionals with Tony Merkel, and that's good too. Very good, very good. Got to hear that. Episode 224, Interdimensional with Dr. Laura Sanger. And we've scrolled up through Season 1, Season 2, all the way through to 2023, and now we're into 2024, and here it is, the one that she mentioned that she thought might be it, Episode 238, Rescued by a UFO with Gary Stearman on Blurry Creatures. And a quote from Gary Stearman. Again, we think it's legal to share a quote. We're saying it's from Gary Stearman on Blurry Creatures, Episode 238. In the years since I have come to some definite opinions about what they are. Gary Stearman. Okay. Episode 275, Are Aliens Demons? Okay. That we need to listen to again. Episode 302, The Genesis 6 Affair. Anything about the Genesis 6 conspiracy, usually by Gary Wayne, is super good. There's just so much we don't know, but it's there for us to know. It's as if God wants us to dig a little. Dig. Okay, into 2025 we go with Blurry Creatures. Of course, we're skipping most of the episodes and hitting highlights as we're looking for episodes that may deal with Bigfoot portaling, and that's probably not a word, using a portal to get to Earth from their planet or dying planet, which feeds into our next discussion with Heidi from Corvallis about Bigfoot theories. So let's look through 2025 so far. Episode 296, Alien Implants with L.A. Marzulli, so they get more in-depth about that topic. By the way, we think our mom has that too, so more on that to come. Okay, we said that last one out of order, but barely. So, still in 2025. Okay, other than some of those, we didn't find the one Heidi from Corvallis, Oregon was talking about. So, we'll find it. Blurry Creatures has an episode about portals and Bigfoot and other planets. So, this is an example of sharing a Bigfoot update. What's going on our end? People we're talking to, what we're learning, what we know. And episodes like this eventually will just be in the bonus section. But for now, we're testing our volume levels, getting better at being a host, editing, basically getting ready for what's next, which should be Heidi from Corvallis, Oregon, as we discuss Bigfoot theories, which are not really theories according to science. But science doesn't believe in Bigfoot anyway, and yet the people in charge do and just don't want us to fully know it because Bigfoot ruins the scientific current paradigm, the current agenda. That's what we're concluding. Anyway, it's interesting to discuss why they're hiding this Bigfoot phenomenon. And it's also interesting that it seems like they're not doing a very good job hiding it at the same time. It's a very interesting discussion. Okay, a quick tutorial on Sasquatch Chronicles. We put it in the search, Sasquatch Chronicles, and it goes to the homepage, which immediately shows recent blog posts. Sasquatch Chronicles is really good about Wes having that's his name, Wes, having pretty much everything under the sun, conferences, other podcasts talking to certain people, but he'll have these blog posts. So if you type in the search, any Bigfoot category you want, he's probably going to have something on it. So again, instead of reinventing the wheel, in every topic of Bigfoot eruption, every state, every region, every category, we could probably have a link that says Sasquatch Chronicles search and have that link for it on whatever the topic is, Dogman, whatever. That's the library, as far as I'm concerned, of where to go for information. So we share links as best we can. So you can go to his site, and credit to him. Thank you for that resource. Okay, let's click on episodes. It loads pretty quickly. Okay, recent episodes. Episode 1157. That's amazing. I've never seen anything like that before. That's a members episode. Before that, Sunday members live chat. Podcasters allow bonuses like that for members. And if you're a member, you get to hear what that live chat was. Before that, episode 1156, The Cursed Property and the White Sasquatch, members only. We're wondering, how do you choose members episodes? It looks like The Confessionals and Sasquatch Chronicles. Looks like it might be random. Looks like they don't choose favorites. But Blurry Creatures, we've learned, we can tell. If it's an episode of a member calling in with their Bigfoot story or their paranormal story, then that's a bonus episode. So that's another way to do it. For us, when we have Judy, Heidi, Wyman, those will be normal and free. And then uploading those creating hits, those creating views, that helps us. And then the membership eventually, I think we'll start with a really low price. And it's going to be for people that want to know the inner workings of Bigfoot eruption. So these monthly discussions like I'm having now, like we're having now, that kind of shows you inside the how and the why of what we're doing. But actual interviews would be normal. Bonus would be ones like this. And we're still working on what bonus means. But having a membership, sorry, but the biggest reason is simply to help with the costs that we've been using our own family money for. And as we learn how to do this, that's really going to be helpful. Now, when it comes to advertising, I'm really impressed. We can't fault anyone for having advertising because it helps pay for documentaries or trips to Peru or whatever they're doing. But Wes Germer of Sasquatch Chronicles doesn't have ads. And we've just said that he's had, as of today, May 25th, 2025, he's had 1,157 episodes, and there isn't advertising. That must mean that his members are quite a few to help him with his costs. So that's awesome. And again, if someone has advertising, ads, and memberships, and bonus memberships, we're learning if there's members willing to do that, then it's okay. They're receiving something they want to receive more of. We would feel guilty doing it, but we'd probably get over that after a while. We're still in the beginning stages of things. Well, thanks for listening. That's an example of just a Bigfoot eruption discussion in planning and what we've heard lately. We didn't share a lot about notes we took from the amazing documentary a flash of beauty, Bigfoot revealed. Every time we watch that, it's so super emotional. They just do it right. And the quotes and the information and the locations, every time we're taking more notes. In Evidence Eruption, we have a flash of beauty section where we share some of those notes. So I didn't get to that. Just yesterday, we watched it again, had notes from it, amazing quotes, really putting the pieces together. Something else we didn't talk much about was notes. I'm keeping a diary of my timeline with questions and answers with Judy, the Sasquatch sensitive that we've met recently here in Oregon. But that's just another reason to keep having these updates. The big takeaway from this episode would be what we've learned through Judy and the YouTube channel How to Hunt with Steve Isdahl about the doctor that had a Sasquatch sighting near the Oregon Caves many years ago and now is an ambassador for Sasquatch in Southern Oregon. And stay tuned for what that means, because we're pretty excited to feel we're hearing some inside information on that, the Sasquatch Bigfoot phenomenon.